Hi, and welcome back to the Fleet Navigator podcast, your go-to GPS for all fleet matters from LeasePlan. Once again, I'm joined by my erstwhile colleague, Dom. Morning, Dom. How you doing?
Very well, thanks, Matt. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, really good, actually. Tip top. So what are we talking about today? Well, over the last couple of weeks, there's been some activity from the government on the 2030 ban, or rather we should now say the 2035 ban. But what remains in place is the zero emission vehicle mandate. And today we're going to have a chat between ourselves, what that means, what it means for drivers. Because actually, some of the targets are still pretty stringent and still remain in place despite the move to 2035. So, new rules for drivers and how they affect you. So what's happening? So the first thing to say is that the government has confirmed mandatory zero emission vehicle targets for new car and van registrations beginning in 2024. That's right, next year this comes in. So levels will increase each year, setting a pathway to phasing out petrol, diesel and hybrid models by 2035, with large penalties for not meeting them. Manufacturers will be fined £15,000 for every excess non-ZEV car sold and £18,000 for every van. But they can trade zero emission vehicle credits or ZEV credits with other companies. So there's a table, as you would well expect, in terms of what that looks like from 2024 all the way to 2035. I'll pick out a couple of key dates. So for next year, manufacturers will be required to sell 22% zero emission vehicles, ratcheting up through 2028 at 52%. And actually in 2030, the percentage is 80% zero emission vehicles sold, with the remaining being 20% on plug-in hybrid electric vehicles. So what does it mean for drivers in practical terms? Well, although recent changes mean non-hybrid vehicles will still be available between 2030 and 2035, targets for zero emission vehicles during that period have not changed since the consultation earlier this year. The only alterations are for vans, where targets have softened slightly in 25 and 26, while per vehicle fines for 2024 have been halved, recognising that the business case for fleets isn't as clear cut as it is for cars. Only 5.5% of new vans sold this year are electric, according to the Society of Motor Manufacturers and Traders. So there are concerns that manufacturers could slow the supply of new vehicles to control the sales mix and avoid fines, but the rest of Europe is moving in a similar direction. Forthcoming Euro 7 pollutant limits and EU-wide CO2 targets mean some car makers are going all electric by 2030, which influences what's available in the UK. Stellantis and Renault Group are also investing in hydrogen fuel cell technology for vans as an alternative to diesel for heavier loads and longer routes. These would all count as zero emission vehicles. So what about the longer plans for drivers, Dom?
Yeah, so the government's also proposed wide-ranging policy changes and consultations focused on making life easier for motorists in England, but not at the expense of encouraging active and public transport. This included several key policies. The first is control of local traffic schemes. Now, what's being proposed? The government believes that policy changes affecting local roads should have the support of residents. Proposals include requiring road-by-road approval to avoid what they call blanket 20 mph limits, reviews of new and existing low-traffic neighbourhoods to ensure local support, and preventing 15-minute city schemes, which include excessive restrictions or rationing of car use. So what does this mean for drivers? In fact, really not much. The plan references Wales making 20 mph the default speed limit for urban areas, but doesn't mention that Welsh local authorities can exempt specific roads if a higher limit is appropriate. It also mentions Oxford's 15-minute neighbourhood plan, which has been the subject of misleading discussions about surveillance and restricting the freedom to travel between different parts of the city. The council has proposed localised amenities to curb residents' dependence on their cars, and a completely separate scheme using cameras and fixed penalty notices to reduce traffic into the city centre. It's not suggesting that car use or travel between areas of the city should be restricted or rationed. The second thing they've proposed is centralised parking, charging and road data. This will involve a national parking platform which will be rolled out across the UK by autumn 2024, bringing hundreds of providers into a single payment back office, which could be expanded to include paying for charging and to provide live data to satellite navigation systems. Traffic regulation orders will also be digitalised, requiring local authorities to notify a central platform if they change speed limits, close roads or alter parking bays. Now, for drivers, this could be a good thing. Contactless car park payments have become increasingly common since the COVID-19 pandemic, and most operators now have their own app, similar to paying for electric vehicle charging 10 years ago. Roaming access is mandatory for EV charge points from 2025, and the National Parking Platform promises similar streamlining for car parks. A 2017 study by transport analytics firm INRIX suggested drivers spend 44 hours per year looking for parking spaces, so streamlining that process could save time and cut CO2 emissions.
Thanks, Dom. So I guess we should look about for some help for drivers without off-street parking. So again, looking at the proposals, the plan does set out measures to make charging electric vehicles easier for households without a garage or a driveway. This includes a consultation on extended permitting development rights for domestic charge points to include on-street installations and nationwide guidelines for safely running cables across pavements. Schools will also get more support to install charge points, which the government says could be made available to local residents out of hours. So again, what does this actually mean for drivers? Well, on-street charging isn't an unusual scenario. A quarter of the vehicles in England are parked on the road. Consistent, supportive charging regulations are overdue. Today, homeowners with no garage or driveway can't install a charge point, even if they always park outside their front door, while local authorities decide whether to allow cables to run across pavements. This leaves drivers charging from domestic sockets with no clear guidance to help them avoid creating a trip hazard for pedestrians. Steps to help schools plug gaps in the network are also useful, but the government could also reduce the 20% VAT rate on public charge points to support drivers who can't plug in at home, particularly as fuel duty was cut 18 months ago. So what else does the plan for drivers suggest? Well, driver education, a small hill on which I die, a marketing campaign working with National Highways to educate drivers about smart motorways, lane hogging and tailgating. The plan also mentions championing electric vehicles by addressing common misconceptions, but it's also critically important that this campaign also includes making sure that the public are aware that vans, commercial vehicles are also able to charge at public charge points. Roadwork, support for lane rental schemes already used in London, where local authorities charge workers based on the time they occupy the highway, with increased fixed penalty notices if work's overrun, including on weekends. For bus lanes, consultations will consider opening all bus lanes to motorcycles and enabling other drivers to access them either out of hours or when doing so isn't holding up the buses. If we look at Slough Borough Council, where the Lease Plan head offices are, they have already opened the bus lane along A4 to electric vehicles. Public charge points. Reviewing the grid connection process and consulting on measures enabling charge point operators to use permits instead of street works licences, which would make installations faster. And challenging fines, a consultation will consider better publicising the right to challenge guidance, which enables residents to petition against local authority parking policies and extending it to other traffic contraventions, such as driving in bus lanes and stopping in yellow boxes. The government will also launch a call for evidence, looking at ways to restrict local authorities' ability to generate surplus income from fines. Okay, wow. There's a lot there, actually. Dom, what do you think about what's being proposed?
Well, it's a real grab bag of policies, isn't it? I mean, I think it's clear that we're in a part of the electoral cycle where both parties have an eye on the expected election, which is going to take place within sort of 12 to 15 months. But we're also in a difficult time for the public finances, so it's not surprising that a lot of these policies don't necessarily have a price tag. That said, I think some of them could be useful. Like, we've all been frustrated by having to download a new app to park in an unusual car park. So the introduction of roaming there, I think, could help a lot of people. But some of it I find quite dispiriting. Like, playing up this conspiracy theory about 15-minute cities, I don't think is something that the government should be doing. But, overall, it's good that they're addressing the needs of the motorist. Let's hope some good comes from it.
It's interesting, isn't it? That whole raft of legislation was dressed up as a war on motorists and became about yellow boxes and 20-mile-an-hour speed limits. But actually, there's some good stuff in there. I mean, the cabling piece, the ducting over pavements has been, we've been waiting for that for years in terms of what that looks like. And that's kind of buried away in the bottom of the legislation.
Yeah, that absolutely.
Makes a change.
I mean, it's a really critical part of the transition to net zero, getting people who don't have access to home charging being able to use electric vehicles. So again, that's a positive policy, I think. Just to think this all came about because of opposition to the ultra low emission zone.
Indeed. And more on that in another podcast. It's probably enough said about that subject for now. It's a bit of a difficult one to get your head round. So stay tuned for more Fleet Navigator podcasts. We've got one on public sector, we've got one on the budget, and we've got an end of year review coming up. But for now, thank you, Dom.
Thank you, Matt.
And stay tuned as always, and this will be available on leaseplan.com.